Okay, well, good morning once again. The scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Judges. Judges chapter 5 and verse 2. This will be the third sermon through the book of Judges in our series. And reading from the New King James Version, it reads this way. When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Now this text is the beginning of the Song of Deborah, and there are variant ways in which we can read that. What we have in the Hebrew here is we have, this is the beginning of the first stanza of nine stanzas. The Song of Deborah in the Hebrew is a nine stanza song, and this is the beginning of the first stanza, and it's in three distinct parts. And basically what you have here is the first part, you have the root word parah. You have parah, parah, Israel, or, you know, the variations of parah, one being the noun, one being a verb. And this is, you've got the, and then after that you've got the second section, which when the people willingly offer themselves, which, you know, you can have offer a volunteer there. And then you have the call to worship, bless the Lord. That initial phrase, that repetition of the word parah, can be translated a few different ways. You might have a modular note, that says when locks are loosed, the loosing of locks, and what the reference there to is to side locks. You have, there's a obscure law in the book of Leviticus, Leviticus 19:27, which talks about, which says this, you shall not round off the sides of your head. So what would happen would be the men would have what would be called side locks. They'd bind up the hair, and then when they would go out to battle, if they were fighting furiously, the side lock would come loose. So you have like a Hebrew poetry image. Others translate that avenge, but if you're going to translate that avenge, basically you have to have the repetition of word. So like in the New King James, you have when leaders lead, you would have to have when the avengers avenge. And that term, Lord, comes at the end of the verse. So what you have is a pretty difficult verse to translate, but this seems to fit best with the context, given the Hebrew parallelism. In verse 3, you have, hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. And then in Judges chapter 5, verse 9, you have, my heart is with the rulers of Israel, who offered themselves willingly with the people, bless the Lord. And that's the beginning of stanza number 4. So you have a larger context to the scripture. Is within Judges chapter 4 and 5. The timing is approximately the year 1240 to 1200 B.C., and Barak slash Deborah represent the fourth judgeship over Israel. So we had Othniel, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. After Othniel, we had Ehud, and then we had Shamgar. And there's some overlap between Shamgar's judgeship and the leadership of Barak and Deborah. Now, Deborah was a prophetess and a mother in Israel who was, quote, judging Israel at that time. Barak was the military leader of Israel at that time. God used Deborah as his mouthpiece to inspire Barak to lead the deliverance of Israel from Jabin, king of Canaan. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, which is the Hebrews Hall of Faith, which I actually asked you all to read if you were here on Friday, as an addendum to Matthew 5:12, Hebrews 11 actually ascribes credit for the deliverance to Barak. So there is some dispute as to who was the savior of Israel, who was the deliverer. But we're simply going to call it Barak slash Deborah, or Deborah slash Barak. Both were mightily used, this we can say for absolute sure. Now the shorter context of the scripture, which we already dealt with, is within the Song of Deborah, which is a song of thanksgiving and praise to God, who is the author of all deliverance. Now, this verse is set against the backdrop of people acting righteously in support of a righteous cause. In other words, the children of Israel, under the leadership of Israel, at a particular point in time, taking action to deliver the people from their bondage. Of course, as we've said, what is true on the national level is true on the personal level. As we read through the history of Israel, we can break it down to our own lives and our own spiritual walk and make our applications from there. So, we're going to draw these applications. First, that godly leaders must lead. Secondly, the people must willingly offer themselves to the Lord's service. And third, all glory is to be directed to God. Hence the call to worship at the end of the verse here. First, godly leaders must lead. Now, without godly leaders, or those who were avenging the captivity of Israel, if you'd like, such as Barak and Deborah, the people would not have been delivered. So if Deborah didn't do what she was called to do, Barak didn't do what he was called to do, and the people who were under them, that is, captains of hundreds and captains of fifties, didn't do their jobs, the people never would have had the appropriate leadership and the appropriate direction to be released from the bondage. If God has gifted you for leadership, if God has placed you in a position to lead, then do it. Let us make spiritual applications. Moms, dads, husbands, supervisors, church leaders, lead with conviction. There's a familiar verse in the book of Joshua. We'll read it. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lead with conviction, decisive, and without compromise. Lead with passion. Again, whether you have the leaders leading, the avengers avenging, or the those who have had the sidelocks undone in their zeal for the Lord, we have the same theme that comes through in the Song of Deborah. Lead with passion. Lead with passion. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. There is no greater way, there is no greater outworking of leadership than to lead another soul to Christ, to lead a child to Christ, to lead a lost soul to Christ, or to lead somebody who has strayed from the narrow path and gone out in the woods someplace and take them by the hand and bring them back onto the correct and narrow road. Now the Apostle Paul says this, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship." So those who are called to lead, those who are called to exercise their convictions on behalf of others, ought to do it with passion. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Now Christian, the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Therefore preach it and live it, and set an example worthy of the call to win souls. Every believer is called to lead in this sense. Some are called to lead within their own family. Some are called to lead perhaps within a church context. But we're certainly called to lead others to Christ within the milieu, whatever circumstances you've been placed in your life. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, the people must willingly offer themselves or volunteer themselves to the Lord's service. Now, the Lord had commanded Barak through the prophetess Deborah to deploy 10,000 troops for battle. Deborah says, okay, Barak, go out and go into the regions of Galilee and get some Zebulunites and some Naphtalites and get them down here and motivate them to fight. What if they refused to come? What if they didn't show up? In like manner, godly men who are faithful to lead, godly women who are faithfully leading in their spheres according to the will and purpose of God, call out the troops to do battle week by week, day by day. And when the Lord's people call, some don't come up at all. Some are no-shows. Others are content to show up and they'll eat their MREs, right? Day by day, but they won't fight. They'll sit in the camp. Dan, why did you stay in ships? There was a battle to be fought. The children of Israel saw work to be done. There was a tabernacle that needed to be built, and they willingly brought the materials needed for the tabernacle. So too, friends, there is work to be done. What are you doing to advance God's gospel? When the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. The Lord's name can be exalted mightily. What are you doing? But then you say there is nothing to do. And Solomon replies, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work a device in the grave, in the place in which you were going. What did Jesus say when he was on earth? I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For there is a night coming when no man can work. In the overall scheme of things, we're on earth for a very short time. But 24 hours. What will we do with our time? Will we willingly volunteer, willingly offer ourselves to the Lord's glory? Or will we stay home, resting comfortably in Galilee while our brethren go forth and fight the battle? So what service do you offer him? Do you pray? Surely there is a shortage of prayer amongst the Lord's servants. If every prayer could be seen as incense, I would wish that we wouldn't be able to see from one side of this room to the other. But I'm quite sure we would be able to see relatively clearly through the small strands of smoke that ascend to the holy hill. Third and final point. All glory is to be directed to God. When leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Deborah's song was written as an example. The Catechism, the Westminster Catechism specifically, gives this reason as the chief end of your existence. Why are you here? To glorify God. Did God save your soul for nothing? Yes, it's true. The actual securing of the salvation cost God's Son everything. And so, you're invited to be a partaker, to freely come and drink of the wine of the Lord's salvation. But God saved us unto good works. And so, the Apostle Paul's statement will serve as our conclusion this morning. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the example that you give us. The examples of the judges in ancient Israel. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we might be good stewards of any area of leadership that you might have called us to, not the least of which being that of leading others to Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you might instill in us grateful hearts, and that through such an attitude of thanksgiving, that our service might be more willing, that we might find joy in the flow of serving you, as so many saints have done, but so few do today. Lord God, if any have lost the joy of their salvation, the joy of Christian service, may it be restored today. And Lord God, may all that we do not point to the left or to the right, and may it never point to ourselves. But may it point to you, Lord, our Father in heaven, that men may see the light that is in us and turn their gaze heavenward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.